Good evening and welcome to the Pacifica National Board meeting. It's Monday, April 9th, 2007, and the time is 01. The meeting is now called to order. And we are ready. And Jamie Ross is our Secretary Pro Tem. Jamie, please call the roll.
Okay, Mary Berg.
Present.
Okay, Ernesto Chico Chastain. Joe Wanzala. Don Weiss. Jack Van Aken.
Present.
Okay, Ian Johnson. Evelyn Bethune. Jim Stott.
Present.
Sandy Weinman.
Here.
Lisa Davis.
Present.
Jamie Ross is here. Mia Bediaco.
Here.
Ambrose Lane. Carol Wolf.
Here.
Okay, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 6, 7, 8. Yep, we have 8.
Oh. Okay, thank you, Jamie. Who would like to volunteer to be time and snack keeper?
I shouldn't do that today because I'm going to be in chamber.
Anybody? Sandy, want to be time and stack keeper?
Time and stack? I think I can do that.
Okie dokie. Has everybody read the agenda? Okay. Is someone trying to say something? Go ahead, Mary.
I'm just wondering, I think the way to mute on here is this star 6 or is this pound 1?
Pound 1.
Okay.
I think it's pound 1. So that's the way you mute and unmute.
Okay,
right.
pound 1 is mute. Okay,
mm-hmm.
Great.
So if there's a lot of noise, is that the
okay. So for our listeners, for the proposed agenda is roll call and approval of agenda 10 minutes. Election results of chair and secretary, 5 minutes. Approval of March 20th, 2000 minutes, 10 minutes. Discussion with our auditor, 30 minutes. Plan of action for PNB in-person meeting, 15 minutes. Set next business date, 5 minutes. A report from Jack Van Aken on a discussion with LaVarne Williams about a joint finance and audit committee meeting, and a report from Nia Bediaco on a discussion with Lonnie Hicks, read the chart of accounts, and adjournment. Could someone make a motion to approve the agenda? Or we have any additions, deletions? Okay. Someone moved.
Jim stopped. So moved.
Jim moved. Second?
I have an
amendment.
I think I hear someone saying they have something.
Jack,
you don't need a second on community. Oh, I'm sorry.
Jack? I can't hear you, Jack.
Jack. Yeah, can you hear me? This is Jack.
Yes. What did you say?
I have an amendment.
Okay.
I have no report to deliver. I don't remember what it was about.
Okay. All righty. So you're making a motion to strike?
Yeah, strike proportion, Jack Van Aken.
Okay.
I'm muting out, so I'm here, but I'm muting.
Okay. Is there a second to strike Jack's report?
Yeah, you don't need seconds on.
Okay. No second. Okay. All righty. So, any other amendments? Okay.
Mary Berg, if we could set the meeting before Ross Wisdom, that would be nice.
The reason I put it after, because I wanted to hear what he had to say, depending on what our plan of action will be, then we'll decide, do we need to meet in a week or so, a week or 2 weeks or a month. That was my reason for putting where it is.
Okay.
Is everyone okay with that?
Yeah, it's just,
okay.
Well,
we're
going
to move quickly.
Okay.
Huh?
Okay.
Alrighty. So, item number 2, election results of chair and secretary. Mary, you have...
I have a question, Nia. The agenda and the amendments were approved unanimously?
Yeah, sorry.
Okay.
Do I hear any objections to approving the agenda as amended? Hearing none. Thanks, Jamie.
Okay.
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 Election results, Mary?
Okay, there were 2 snail mail ballots received, one of which was postmarked April 3rd and one of which was postmarked April 4th. There were 3 email ballots received, and they all were received by the date they were supposed to be. So now, today, there was no more mail. I got a ballot Saturday, and I got a ballot Friday. So it took a while to arrive, but there were none today. So I don't know if you want to declare that the results based on this, and then I have not opened 2 sealed ballots. I can do that tonight, maybe before the meeting's over, in the presence of Chandra Hoffman. But the results of the email ballots, naturally, I know. And there were no write-ins for chair. It was just votes for the one nominee, which is Nia. And those other 3 were all for Jamie Ross. So you would have to get a minimum of 3 ballots to make a tie. And I just think it's very unlikely that 3 snail mail ballots are going to arrive at this point. But I can't unilaterally declare the election over unless you all agree. And then secondarily, I need agreement from the group as to whether you want to accept the ballot postmarked April 4th or not count it at all. So
okay.
Those are the 2 questions I have.
So if your first question is, should you accept the one that's postmarked April 4th? I mean, I am not that strict, but that's just my one vote. How does everybody else on the call feel?
I move that she accept the ballot marked April 4th.
Okay. And, okay. That was Jamie Ross.
Oh, okay.
Is there any objection? Okay, none. Now, in terms of you opening those 2 in the presence of somebody else, what time will you be able to get to Chandra?
Well, I am hoping to get there by 7:30. Whether this meeting is over by then, I don't know. But 2 ballots can't affect the outcome anyway. We know what 3 of them are, and no matter what they say, there's no way they can't make a tie. So the only way that results can be affected is if more ballots came in, these 2, and then 1 more might make a tie.
Okay.
So the likelihood of that diminishes, moments by moment as we speak, that more ballots will come in.
Okay. But we did say that we would do it tonight. I mean, I am flexible either way. It's up to the committee. What would everybody like to do?
Point of information?
Yes.
Because I'm in between these trains passing me by and everything. How many ballots, Mary, did you say we received altogether, including email?
5.
3 email, 2 snail, so a total of 5.
Right, and that's including the ones that you said that was postmarked. What did you say the postmarked on them were?
Yeah. Right. And it was one of the 2 emails was, or a snail mail was postmarked before. And we agreed without objection to accept that one. So we have 2.
Right.
I have not opened those since I would not do that without witnesses, and especially I could not do it until the election was declared over and, time to open them. And that's, I think the body has to say that, because it's not my decision unilaterally. So I can just tell you that the odds are slim, but I can't say that no more ballots will happen.
What to do. Okay. So does anybody object to Mary getting to where she's going and then opening in the presence of, does it have to be Chandra? I have no idea who Chandra is. It doesn't matter to me who it is.
No, it's just that she's a person you know, but I'm actually, she might not be there, but there are, this is the Coalition for a Democratic Pacific.
Okay, got you.
And people are probably known to most, to many of you there. Nicole Milner's house is where we meet. Some of you know who that is.
Okay. And also,
but the Chandra's thing is, one of if the, I open, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I'm sorry, Chandra is also a PMB director, correct? If it's the same person.
Yeah, so that's why she will be there, but she might be, she's usually late, so I can't. But just so that you know, by opening them, even if another ballot comes, what you're really saying is we're declaring the election closed. And therefore, I open them, because if the election can, then I can't count any further ballots that come tomorrow.
Right.
Which, you know, so in voting to do that, you realize that if these hordes of ballots flood the mailbox tomorrow, listen, I won't be able to open.
We can't even get a quorum. I don't think the post office is bursting open.
You know, I really don't think it's going to fill the mail.
All right. So let me just get a feel from the body. Does everybody agree Mary will get to wherever she gets to, then she'll open those two with a witness, and then if she can call us back if we're still on, and then she'll tell us, is that okay with everybody? Or do we want her to go with what she has? Any opinion? Hello?
Wait, excuse me. I think that's not quite. It's either shall I take them and open them tonight or wait till we get more.
You said I'll wait until what?
Until she gets more.
Do we finish it off tonight? Then I'll go and finish it.
This is Nia?
Yes, Jamie?
Jamie, a point of information. I mean, we could poll the body and see if there's any ballots. Any mail ballots that were mailed recently. If you're waiting for
really
any ballots.
Brilliant.
is anyone on this call mail his or her ballot?
Like in the past couple days or hasn't gotten there?
Okay, I can tell you it was Jamie Ross and it was Don White.
Okay.
Are the two that I have, because people have to put their names on the outside.
In terms of the mail?
Yeah.
Did anybody else? Okay, I didn't hear a resounding yes, so I guess the answer is no. So the question is, we'll close it tonight, or will we wait? So would we like to vote on that? Because I have to get to Ross Wisdom, and we're already behind schedule.
Yeah,
yes, Lisa?
Move to close the ballot tonight.
I heard a point of information.
Yes, Lisa? Yeah.
I was wondering, I thought I heard, are we supposed to have like a quorum for the ballots or?
No.
No.
Okay, no problem. Never mind. I have no objection. We can close it tonight or wait. I have no problem if we chose to do it tonight.
Point of order?
Yes. Who's that?
Yeah, I think we're at time for this item.
Okay, great.
Okay.
So
we're right.
Let's bring it to a vote.
Well, just ask if there's any objection.
Is there any objection to closing it tonight?
No.
Hearing none, that's it. It's closed tonight, and Mary gets to wish to get to.
I'll do
then
that.
She'll open them, and she'll come back on the line, and she'll let us know about this wonderful landslide.
it's a nail biter.
Okay. Jamie?
Yes?
Could you please, a chair for a second, let me call Ross Wisdom?
Okay.
I'll be right back.
Right.
I guess you could just ask about the minutes. I'm sure people probably read them already. I'll be right back.
Okay.
Bye.
Yeah, this is Jamie Altair while Nia's on the phone. The next agenda item is item number 3, approval of the March 20th, 2000 minutes. How'd you like those wonderful minutes?
They were beautiful. I'm thinking of having them framed.
Fantastic.
Mary, you got competition with your minutes, huh?
Oh, those are great.
Well, are there any amendments or corrections?
Not
Okay, then if there's no amendments, or, well, do people want to take a minute to look them over, or not necessarily?
Well, I read them. I don't need to. Does anybody else?
I'm not in front of my computer yet.
Okay. Would you need time later, Lisa, or you sort of...
I don't think I'd have, you know, many objections or anything like that, so I just look them over later on. If there's anything too glaring, if people don't object, and, you know, I could bring them up after I've looked them over.
Okay, well...
Mr. Chair, you know, with minutes, they can always be revisited if you approve them.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean they get anything
sound.
Okay.
Okay, I heard Ross's voice. Okay, Jamie, you want to just finish up? Want to bring it to
okay,
it?
Well,
no
if
problem.
There's no objection, do we approve the March 20th minutes?
Yeah.
But that
yeah.
Is, okay, but hearing no objection, the minutes are approved.
Okay,
okay, back to you.
Okay. Hi, everyone. Okay, Ross is on the line, and it's your turn, Ross. Well, you were invited tonight on behalf of all the members of the committee to explain to us exactly what it is that we are responsible for in terms of auditing for Pacifica, if anything.
Okay.
So,
all right. Well, I can talk generally about the responsibilities of an audit committee, and then we can, you know, have questions and answers. The responsibilities of an audit committee are really twofold. There are the, I think of them in terms of sort of external responsibilities and internal responsibilities. The external responsibility is the audit committee represents the board and the organization and its relationship with the outside auditor, in this case, myself, my firm. And the engagement from start to finish, not that you're really involved in the audit, but you're the oversight committee from the board so that you are aware of the relationship with the outside auditor, how the audit's progressing, and then we give you a report which you're looking at, the management comments, and also there's a specified letter to the audit committee which would disclose if we had any disputes with management or if there are any general problems with accounting principles and that sort of thing. And so that audit issues can be dealt with at the committee level, and then they don't, all of the detailed issues of an audit don't necessarily need to rise up to the general board level, especially in a large organization like Pacifica. So that's a very useful function. The other way I would think about the responsibilities is internal. There is an internal audit function where you should be aware of and have an ability to provide oversight, again, representing the board, of internal audit issues. Not that you're in a line function or a management function or a staff function. That's not your job. But there is a staff at Pacifica that does internal auditing. There's Alvin Yip in the Berkeley office who's a CPA, and he's also a traveling staff person. So if there are problems, he will go out to the other divisions and assist or help implement internal accounting policy. The major point that I made at the last PNB was that we needed some board backing, some board approval, some board support for a consistent uniform policies and procedures manual. And that's when we passed that resolution, and that directly involves the audit committee. And there needs to be some consistency across the network and policies and procedures. And from my point of view, I'm not too concerned about what the particular policies and procedures are. As long as the basics are covered and they're fairly administered, we're not looking to come up with anything too onerous. It needs to be practical, but something that the whole organization can function with. And that's basically my comment.
Okay. Who would like to speak? Sandy, could you take the stack?
I have it. Go ahead.
Okay. Who would like to speak?
Mary Burke, I'd like to speak.
Mary?
Yep. Mary?
Carol Wolf?
Is anybody?
Carol?
Jamie would like to speak.
Jamie? Mary?
Okay.
And I'll...
Yeah.
After, Nia. Okay, go ahead.
And you can put me on the stack at some point, too.
Who is that?
Lisa.
Before I made it home.
I've got Mary, Carol, Jamie, and Mia.
And then Lisa.
Thank you.
Sure. Okay. Well, this is good. Could you say a little bit more? You said that in developing this or in having it, that the audit committees do play a role. And what role is that? Specifically, do we recommend policies and procedures for the manual or simply see that there is one? We badly need this, and so I'm just wanting to know, and it hasn't happened since we started, so is there some role that we have in actually formulating and creating such a manual? And if so, what role would that be for an audit committee?
Okay. Well, generally, you would have that responsibility basically delegated. I mean, there's no hard and fast rule about who comes up with the policies, but it's up to the audit committee to make a sort of a board-level type of proposal as to what the policies should be. You may take in proposed policies and procedures from Lonnie Hicks. I know he's got a manual that he's developed. You may hear what the Finance Committee has to say. You may go out to the AICPA.org website, and they have checklists and guidelines for nonprofit accounting procedures. You can talk to me and see what I have to say about policies and procedures. You can look at my management comments letter. But ultimately, it's up to the audit committee to, make a vote on a proposed manual and ultimately, after revisions, approve a manual. The organization has been operating without an approved manual, so there really is no authority by management to implement policies and procedures. There's no, it's just sort of in an awkward position. I think that the accounting staff at the national office has done a very good job. What they've basically done is where policies and procedures are weak at the station level, they end up doing some of the work or correcting it. But if there was a consistent policy, then I think everybody could be on the same page, so to speak, and there could be more training and development. I don't know if I answered your question, but I think
you've
got a lot of different resources you can draw upon. You don't have to do the work yourselves, but you need to understand it.
Our job,
make a decision.
But it's our job to bring it forward, however we
bring
it together.
Right.
It's our job to get it together, see that it exists, and then bring it for approval. That's the part I want. Yes, that was exactly my question. Thank you.
Okay.
All right, Carol, next.
I just want to make sure I'm understanding correctly. Does that mean that there are sort of drafts or maybe an incomplete set of policies and procedures already that could be a starting base and then we would need to have it refined and completed?
Oh, yes, I thought you knew that. Lonnie developed a manual in 2003 and submitted it to the board for approval, and it never really went anywhere. That was the problem.
Right.
And I guess so. What would be the easiest way for the audit committee to? I guess the best thing would be for us to start with that and look at that, and then develop a plan from that on pieces to add to it. Could that be posted to our group?
It has been.
Is it too? It has been?
I'm sure if you requested a PDF email could be sent to each member of the audit committee.
Okay.
Maybe we didn't get it this year. We had it from last year for sure.
I didn't hear. Someone's speaking, and I can't hear clearly. Who's speaking?
Oh, I'm sorry. I just said maybe we didn't. I thought we got one sent. I thought Lonnie sent things to us this year as well as last year, but maybe not. So I will look.
There are also new members the committee.
Maybe that's the accounting primer. I'm looking at the group website right now.
No, I think there's two different documents. One's called an accounting primer, and the other one's called a policies and procedures manual.
Right. That's true. Okay.
Okay.
We're not confined to that, as you mentioned the other things. Where else did you mention we could look? You mentioned
AICPA, I think.
Yeah.
Right. If you go to the AICPA.org website and then look at nonprofit organizations, you're going to find a whole bunch of material on FASB pronouncements and checklists. But if you keep looking in there, you'll find some guidance on accounting principles and policy procedures.
Okay. Who's next on the stack?
I have Jamie.
Okay. Hi, Ross. Thanks for being on the call. My question is, this is my first year on the audit committee. In previous years, how has your interaction with the committee functioned?
Basically, I've been dealing with the entire PNB once or twice a year to go over accounting issues and audit issues. Because the audit committees were not active, they were unable to achieve a quorum.
Okay.
And I was contacted maybe once or twice during the year. I think I was on a conference call about a year ago, and they were asking a few questions, but there were no regular meetings since then. So, and every time I've conducted an audit, I've been unable to meet with the audit committee because they had not achieved a quorum.
Okay, thank you.
Next on the stack was Mia.
I let Lisa go first. Did I go after Lisa?
Okay, Lisa.
Okay. Hi, Ross. I had the chance to talk with you briefly at the PNB meeting. How are you?
Hi.
Good. I was just curious, in terms of when you conduct an audit, do you also audit the various stations as well, or if you could just give a little bit, just give us a little bit of an idea in terms of what's involved when you actually conduct an audit?
All right. Well, we do an organization-wide audit, which includes field work at the station level. We don't visit all the stations each year. We do some audit work through the national office in terms of obtaining documentation and doing audit procedures. But each year, we will visit at least two or three stations and do field work on premises. The audit is providing an assurance organization-wide. It's one legal entity, and we are auditing that legal entity. The divisional information is provided as supplemental information, and we are not giving a level of audit assurance at each station like it's a standalone entity.
Mm-hmm.
So our level of audit report is really for the numbers combined, where the central services, for example, is eliminated in the combined report. So a lot of the interdivisional or interstation issues are really not audit issues. They may be management issues, but they're not really audit issues.
Go
ahead, Lisa.
May I just ask one other question? When you say that they're not audit issues, you mean in terms of they're not issues that the auditor would be involved with, or I'm not sure if I'm being clear with what I'm trying to ask. when you say they're not audit issues as opposed to something that would be an audit issue. I'm just trying to get a little bit more clarity on what constitutes an audit issue.
All right. For example, the central services eliminates on the organization-wide report. So if an issue concerning a proper allocation of central services, although that's something we might look at, but it's more of an internal issue, it's not going to cause the financial statements for the organization to be incorrect, because central services is income to National, it's an expense to the station, but in the organization-wide report, that's called an eliminating transaction. So if you look at the basic financial statements for the organization as a whole, there is no income from central services and there is no expense for central services because those two offset. That's what I mean by it's not really an audit issue, because when I sign off on my audit report, I'm signing off on the organization as a whole. It's the balance sheet, the assets, the liabilities, the income and the expenses of the whole organization. Does it present fairly, and is it materially free of misstatements? That's the main assertion that I'm making in my report. And for example, this issue of what to do with the interdivisional balances or whether the interdivisional balances are correct, I'm sensitive to the issue. I appreciate that that's an important issue for the organization internally. But when it comes to the Form 990 and the audit report, that issue is not there because those balances eliminate when they're combined in a combined financial statement for the organization as a whole. I think this organization has always thought of itself as five entities or maybe six entities or seven entities or eight entities, but in reality, it's really just one entity.
Mm-hmm.
Did that answer your question?
I mean, it answers it somewhat.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm next.
Yes, that leaves me.
Yeah. Speaking of one entity, I know in our local finance committee meeting, there's a major concern that most members have is the classification of what they call the chart of accounts. Throughout Pacifica, it doesn't seem as if there's one standard for expenses, you know. And is that something that the audit committee should do, or the finance committee? Because we don't want to do anything in audit that we should not be doing. I mean, I have the copy of the chart of accounts, mm-hmm. and I see in your report here it should be broken down. All expenses should be properly coded by departments, programming, operations. And I'm surprised that that's not being done now. So I was really shocked to see that was one of your comments. So
right. Well, a lot of that gets done by the national office. Certain stations are very good at doing that as they go along. Other stations just have been reporting everything to administration in the past. They're not doing that now, but in the past they used to do that. And then it was up to the national office to, at the end of the year, take those expenses and break them down. And they usually do it for the whole year in one spreadsheet and adjusting entry to break down an expense between the different departments. So that is one example. The chart of accounts was in place, but they weren't using it fully at the station level.
Right. And it's not uniform. And why does it differ from station to station? That's just rather confusing for me. It's like, you know, when you do online shopping and you go to order, it doesn't matter where the branch of the store is that item number. I would think that's the way it should be.
Well, each station has its own business manager, and they're doing their own accounting at each station, so it's up to the human element at each station as to how well they're implementing. And they haven't had a consistent policies and procedures manual. So nobody can say they're doing it wrong, except if they're not really. I can say they're doing it wrong because I have to do an audit report.
Right.
But I don't have any authority within the organization. And then national office would like to, and they've been doing a good job of trying to improve it. There's been a tremendous amount of progress. I can't begin to tell you how much progress has been made since 2002 until now. But, you know, these are areas that are sort of in transition, really, over the last year. I think you'll find a lot of these comments have already been addressed, but, you know, there's still needs to be put into a policies and procedures manual, and it still needs to be uniformly applied. And you're always going to have turnover at the station level. You're always going to have change, so it's an ongoing process.
But even if you have change, the new person should be conforming to whatever is there. He or she shouldn't be bringing their own procedure. I don't think that's the way it should work.
I agree with you. But some of these stations, what they thought was an accounting manual was just basically the instruction booklet for Great Plains. So that doesn't really tell them what they're supposed to be doing in terms of Pacifica procedures.
Okay.
So those are the kinds of inquiries, the kinds of things that, as you get into this, you can ask me, or you can ask Alvin, or you can ask the business managers at the station what are the actual policies and procedures that they're using.
Mm-hmm.
For example, one of my comments was at KPFT, they weren't using check requisitions, which is a basic procedure. And I just don't think they had ever been really trained on it or given the form. Not that anything was really wrong. The invoices were properly approved and paid, but not everything is really well documented if you don't have the check requisition form. And that's something was pretty common everywhere else in the network. But they had a fairly new staff, and so that's. As you get into this, you'll see what
now.
Needs
to be done. I'm sorry. Go ahead. Sorry.
Oh, that was it.
Mm-hmm. Now, in terms of the dual control, speaking of specific comments, where you have somewhere where a bank statement should be delivered to, I think it's the branch manager. I'm gonna try to find this. That's in here someplace. And be opened by him? I don't want to misquote you. Where is that?
All right. Well, I remember that bank statements should be delivered directly to a national officer, member of management, or station manager, as it's just a basic audit procedure. It ensures that division of responsibility between management and accounting. The same person doing the book should not have too much control.
I'll just give
them
a couple of minutes.
It's a good basic audit procedure.
Okay. Now, in terms of that dual control, so it would have to be, let's say, someone in finance along with someone. Whom would you recommend? The departments within the stations, I'm learning this as I go myself, would be finance, programming, so I guess, are you saying should be someone in finance along with someone in the arts department or someone in the public affairs department in terms of having dual control? Because it doesn't seem like dual control to me to have two people in finance doing it. Is that okay?
This is a little bit confusing, I think. I don't know if we're talking about two different things. One had to do with bank statements being opened directly by management, and the other thing had to do with two people present to open the mail.
Uh-huh.
So if you're referring to the bank statements, I'm saying that's not dual control. That bank statement should go directly to the station manager, for example, and that's the person that should be opening the bank statement, and that would allow them to review the checks inside and see that there's nothing improper with the check. The other control has to do with opening the mail. It should be opened in the presence of two people, and that could be... the person out front, the receptionist, the person in front, or an office manager, and then the business manager, or it could be a program person. I'm not really specifying which two individuals, just that there should be two opening the mail in the presence of two people, and someone should be making a tally or making a copy and an adding machine tape of the checks that came in that day.
Okay.
And then
but
that would need to be reconciled.
But you're not saying it should be two people from the same department or one person from one department and another person from another? department?
I'm not saying which department. I'm just saying
okay.
there should be two people. Right now,
okay.
there's just one person.
Mm-hmm.
And, for example, at WBAI, the mail gets misrouted. The business manager there told me that the reason that some of the bills were paid late is they didn't, they were delivered to the wrong department or something, and they didn't get them for a month, or, and they were just sort of ended up on their doorstep. So somebody found some old mail and finally routed it back to the over to the business department, and that's, so they got their bills late and they were paid late. There's not, it's just not a very good procedure on what happens with the mail.
Does anybody else have any other questions for Ross?
I have a question. It's not necessarily for Ross, but I did find the policies and procedures that Lonnie proposed on in one of the group postings. Is the last letter from Ross also posted?
I'm sorry. I
found the policies, the proposed policy and procedures from Lonnie Hicks on the audit committee group.
Okay.
But what I haven't found yet is Ross's last letter. It seems to me that a good, maybe a good way to proceed. It's a huge document and it's a huge project probably for us, but maybe one way to proceed would be to take the items in Ross's last letter and focus on revising those first.
I have a question, and I guess this is for anybody, especially anybody that was at the in-person P&B meeting. And Mary, do you by chance have a copy of the motion that was passed pertaining to how the finance committee and the audit committee should be working together?
Yes, I have that, and I posted it. Would you like me to read it, or would you like me to?
If you could read it, because I'm my computer is so slow
okay.
coming up.
I was going to get to that, but I'm glad you asked, and it's
okay.
that. Robbins moved the PNB direct the CFO to work with audit committee to prepare a draft of recommendations for uniform accounting practices to change the existing policies and procedures which would remedy inconsistencies noting in general comments of Section B of the January 2007 auditor report. The draft to be presented in 120 days to the PNB for referral to the Finance Committee for review and recommendations with all recommendations to be brought to the full PNB at its mid-year meeting. Then there was debate. Lane moved to substitute that the PNB direct the Finance and Audit Committees to meet joint to review and approve a revised financial procedures manual in accordance with the auditor's recommendations. The manual will be presented for the PNB's approval by the next PNB quarterly meeting. Then there was debate. Bethune moved to add meet jointly to before review and approval, and it was passed with no objections. So it sounds like we have to do all of this by April 20th.
By Thursday?
by next week. I don't know if we could do all that, you know, unless
we
can. So that's why I have on the agenda they would do in preparation for, let me get back to my agenda here. Jamie could remind me what I said here. What I have here is my computer is acting very, very strange.
Plan of action for PNB meeting?
Right. Right. That's exactly why I put that there. I know my computer is practicing.
It's amazing how when you pass these motions, they sound so reasonable at the time in terms of time allotment, but as we can see.
But when it comes to execution.
Right, it won't happen by the 19th, that's for sure.
Well, I think Carol was getting somewhere there, which I agree. If we could at least start, I can't guarantee anybody that I could read all of that. How many pages is it, Carol?
It's 23 pages.
23 pages.
I think if we could... We may not get it all complete, in a year, but if we could get the top items, but what was in the auditor's letter are, I'm sure, the most pressing items that should be tightened up.
Okay.
And if we could start with those, then even if we don't finish, you know, have a complete final document in a year, at least we will have made a lot of progress. But the most important areas.
Not in a year, Carol.
Yeah, well, I know.
By the 19th April.
By the
19th. If you pick five things at a time, you know, we'll get there. But if we try to deal with this whole thing at once, I think it will be really difficult.
Okay. So I'm not looking at it.
So we must have the auditor's letter somewhere. That I don't see.
Okay.
On the list.
I'll forward that to you again.
Okay.
To all of us.
Well, can you post it as a file in the...
The file section?
The audit group.
Oh, okay. I can do that. One second. I think I hear Mary faintly in the background there before you, Lisa.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, I'm sorry. Is this really faint? I don't know why. Is this better?
It's faint enough that I heard you. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, a couple of things. I'll do the last one. Please, if you send files, can you send them as attachments as well to those who requested? I requested. I can't. Yahoo hates me, and I kind of know why, but I can't get things out of there at all. So, and the other point was, I really think we have to get the board. We have to recommend that the board do this. By we can't have anything for the next, you know, in the 2 weeks. So the half year was a better idea in the first place. And this particular agenda, there's just, even if we had it, I doubt it would ever happen, because this whole D3 thing is taking precedence over everything.
So is that a motion, Mary? You're making a motion?
Yeah, it's a motion that we, I guess that's the best way to go about it. I recommend that, since we, neither a committee has met to date, that we try to, that we postpone the report on that to the, I think it's a July meeting, to the next, to the mid-year meeting, let's put it like that.
Okay.
So that we, since neither the audit committee nor the finance committee has met, we recommend that a report from them be postponed to the mid-year PNB in-person meeting.
In-person meeting. Do you have that, Jamie?
Okay.
I can send it like that if you want.
Yeah, that'd be good.
I'll second that, Mary. Sandy.
Okay.
You don't need to in committees, but thanks.
Is Russ still on the call?
I'm
sorry to ask you, but could you just give one second, Carol.
Just one second. Now, Mary just made a motion.
Mm-hmm.
And are you making an amendment to the motion, Carol? Or what?
No, I'm not. No.
Okay. So let's, is there any objection to Mary's motion? Hearing none? Okay, so that's our motion for next week. Okay, Carol. Go ahead.
I just wanted to make a suggestion that we include in the minutes that website that Ross referred us to, and I didn't write it down when he mentioned it.
Yeah. It's the AICPA.org. And Jamie's an excellent listener, right, Jamie?
Oh, yeah.
AICPA, okay.
.org.
I have a quick question, if I may ask it.
Yeah, sorry.
And I haven't been on my my email with the PMD, because I was asking if for an electronic version of the full report that Ross submitted, because there was the letter and then there was the full report, which is about, oh gosh, over 20 pages, I would think. So I don't know if they answered my question or not, but I was just going to go on and ask if there's an electronic version of that available for people, at least everybody on the audit committee.
Ross? For the financial report?
Yeah.
The audited financial report that's I have it in front of me. It's 24 pages. it's either Ben Garcia or Lonnie Hicks, who has a PDF of it, and if you request it to the national office, I'm sure they'll send you a PDF version of it.
different. Like I said, they may have already. I just haven't been able to get on my email.
All right. So what I'll do is I'll ask Lonnie tomorrow, Lisa, for the complete audit report. Okay. Now, do we have any other questions for Ross so that he can get home? He's still in his office. I know it's tax time, but I know he wants to go home. Any other questions for Ross? Okay, hearing none. Thank you, Ross.
Thank you, Ross.
And I'll keep in touch with you.
I'd like to make one final comment.
Yes.
I think the thinking behind the board resolution when I was there, they were almost about to just approve as just a provisional working document the policy and procedures manual that Lonnie developed, just to have something in place because the organization doesn't have anything that's approved right now. And so I think their thinking was, okay, let's put this in committee, but let's not leave it there too long. Let's get something approved. And my feeling is that if these general comments are incorporated in the manual, and if there's some disputes over some of the policies and procedures, it would be fine with me if you just lowered the standards a little bit so you could allow things to be done a little easier at the station level, let's just say phase one or phase A or something, but just to get some basic procedures that everybody can agree with, both the audit committee and the finance committee. And I think that was the primary intent. And then this is going to be a working document, a process where whatever gets approved, I'm sure you will probably get some feedback from the stations or from National or from someone saying we'd like to change this or we would like to change that, and that'll go back to committee too. So I don't think you need to be concerned about getting the perfect manual put together in a week or two. I think it's just more important to get to a common understanding and everybody be on the same page, so to speak.
Can I ask a question? It's Carol.
Go ahead, Carol.
So, Ross, are you saying that your letter had a few things in it that should be addressed right away in the policy and procedures? And if those were addressed, that your recommendation would be to go ahead and put it in place and then continue to work on it?
Right, and those are the general comments referred to in the resolution. There are 11 specific general comments that apply equally to all the divisions, such as the bank statements being delivered unopened directly to management, separate bank accounts being established for restricted funds. And you'll see it under the general comments section, each one of those.
Right.
Has that been posted, Mary? Or
I don't have that.
To, Carol,
did you send it to all?
Post them again.
Okay,
and I know that you got on late. You were added on late.
Okay, thank you.
I didn't get it. Actually, I can't find it anywhere, so if you post it, Mia, could you just send it to me as well?
Attachment for you, right?
Right.
Yeah.
And just so everybody will know, this is like a five-page, I guess, almost cover, for lack of a better word, to the larger audit report that I was talking about, but then they're like two different documents. But the one that that Ross just referenced is five pages.
Yeah. I have that one, and then I'm going to get the other one, the PDF form, from Lonnie tomorrow.
Now,
did you have anything else you want to say, Ross?
If there are questions of me, if you could direct them through Nia to me, I'd be glad to respond to them email.
Cool.
Okay. Thanks very much.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
Okay.
All right.
Have a happy tax season.
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Yeah. All righty. Nia?
Yes?
Mary, can you please, this is a point of information, could you tell me when Ross Wisdom's, when the 22-page manual went out? You're talking about that. Or not manual, his
No, I'm talking about the five-pager that he sent to me over the weekend, or... That's what I'm referring to. The 22-page one, I don't have. But
I don't either. So who was reading from that? Who was... I thought some people had that.
Ross mentioned it.
Right.
Carol was talking about something that she was looking at on...
I was talking about Lonnie's policies and procedures, his proposed policy and procedures.
Procedures manual.
That already is posted in the Yahoo group.
Right, but the actual audit...
Well, I haven't
at least talking about that. I have to get
right.
Oh,
right. Just so you'll know, that was because, like I said, I don't have it electronically, but that was passed out at the January P&B meeting, and the Huger audit was it part of the report in the manual that we get, you know, that wonderful 1,000-page manual that we have to read every P&B meeting.
Probably why I don't have it, because that's. No,
right, but the five pager was something separate, which kind of, I guess, like I said, general comments. It's pretty good, an easy read, pretty good document to have.